message, that he has come to convict also. He has come to clean out the flesh.
Right.
He has come to do away with that flesh which so easily entangles us into the worldly
thing. Well, that flesh tries to pull you down. It has a voice,
right.
It has a will of its own, and it's a rebel.
Yes, it is. So here John is saying he's taking his winnowing fork, he's taking that harvesting implement, and he's thoroughly harvesting up his wheat. And we are the wheat. The believers are the wheat. The chaff is what we have to see burn up off of our spirits, and that's our bodies.
Well, some people say, well, why do I need this? But I think, just to sidetrack here for a minute, when Jesus came, he came because of the divine sperma delivered by Holy Spirit to Mary. He is now the bloodline of God himself.
Mm-hmm.
He has the blood of God in his veins. So he's growing up until he's 30 years old, though. He had emptied out himself, and it says in Philippians 2:7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Now, he was living on earth as the Son of Man, meaning that he had left all those divine attributes that he had in heaven behind. He'd poured
mm-hmm.
those out. He left those behind.
Mm-hmm.
He came because he wanted to walk as a man on the earth. And it says in Scripture, he was tempted in all points like we are. But when the anointing came on him, his life changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need that same anointing that the Son of Man, because we're also son of men, son of a woman. And the legal entrance into this earth, thank you, Charles Capps, for that teaching,
mm-hmm.
is the womb of a woman.
Yes.
So here we are. We're powerless Christians. Or I'm going to say this, as Christians, we're powerless in the face of many things the devil throws against us.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if there's someone that's demonized or there are evil spirits around, we need that anointing of Holy Spirit to go after it.
I think something harder than that is that flesh that hangs on us, Darren. The old habit patterns that keep doing the loop, and we keep thinking we're never going to get out of this. If of this style that we're in, of this lifestyle that we have grown up with, we're never going to break this. And that's why we talk about breaking the curses, because there are things in our lives we don't think we ever could get out of. And that old flesh just seems to want to hang on to us and envelop us and overtake us.
Well, you know, the thousands of power packs that we put out, the little scripture cards we
mm-hmm.
put out, what we're after there, our goal and our agenda is, and it's not hidden, we just put it right out. We want to get the Word of God in your heart so you become a threat to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what it says in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't be conformed any longer to the flesh
mm-hmm.
and the flesh ways of thinking and acting.
That's right.
That you may prove what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that can explain the Word to you. He's the one that can make the Word alive to you. He's the one that does that. You need his help. Frequently I say, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the revelation on this particular thing. In fact, today driving to the studio, I was saying to the Lord, I'm asking you for a revelation of just the concept of words.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, you know, what is this thing, words? There's word, word, word all over the place. I speak words, I meditate on the Word, all of this, but I want to know more of how this really operates here. That's the way I receive revelation from Holy Spirit. I ask him,
mm-hmm.
teach me, give me this mystery, and he will give that to you.
That's right. When we ask, he will always give it to us. But I realize here that even Paul struggled with the flesh, Darren. This Paul that wrote Romans 12 that you were talking about, let us not be conformed any longer to this world. And we find in Romans 7, that Paul is saying, I know that nothing good dwells in me. He's talking about his physical body here. His spirit, he knows, is saved. His spirit is regenerated. And for in my flesh, he knows nothing good dwells in his flesh. For the things that I wish to do, I can't do. I keep doing that which I do not want to do. And he's talking about this battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And I think this is one of the greatest things that we see in people as we talk to them on the radio, over the phone, as we see them in class. They struggle for years, right where Paul was in Romans 7 and Romans 8, struggling with that flesh.
Okay, there's a childhood game that, in fact, some adults played even, but it's called Cutthroat.
Yeah.
And there'll be three kids around playing, and they're playing as... whoever is ahead, then the other two gang up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else gets ahead, and then they gang up on that person. And it's just back and forth like that. You know, that's exact description of what the flesh does.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, there's a game there. There's a war there. War games, I'll say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
To destroy you and to hold you down and make you lose.
That's
and it's
right.
called the flesh. It's the voice and the desires of the flesh. The only way we can put that flesh under, and it doesn't mean you have to totally become, your will has to be destroyed, your personality has to be destroyed. You conform to the image and likeness of God.
How do you do that? Paul tells us how. You know, I've felt, you know, people tell me to get rid of the flesh. They tell me to die to the flesh. They tell me that the flesh will be like chaff. It'll be burned off of us. But how do I do that? And I believe Paul gives us this key. And the key is Holy Spirit, Darren. And it says in Romans 7, the good that I wish, I do not do. I practice the very evil I do not wish. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's talking about this transition from those things that are the law. And, you know, the law always condemns, to those things which are in the Spirit. And Holy Spirit is there to encourage and edify, and yes, to convict in some instances, but majority of Holy Spirit's duty here is to love and encourage and comfort. And he begins Romans 8, where there is therefore now no condemnation. The law, we are free from the law. Holy Spirit has delivered us from the law.
And we give us
the
whole
law.
Verse of there is therefore now no
condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So that Spirit of life is what really, really delivers us from this battle that we go on, and we all go through that fleshly battle, that war with the flesh.
Well, I just have to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, because good things are happening. I mean,
yes.
Supernatural things are happening. And when we have this special friend that can bring the Word of God to our life with revelation. Now, you have to have revelation knowledge, and there's really two kinds of knowledge that most of us carry around. One is called accumulated knowledge that we learn by study over and over and over, and you just keep adding that. But revelation knowledge comes in a burst of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking here about insight. I'm not talking about some wild idea, some brainstorm, some dream, you know, that we might say, well, this person had this, you know, this insight, this thing. We're talking about a burst of revelation that comes, and when Holy Spirit gives us that, I believe it's ours forever.
Mm-hmm.
If we hang on to that, it's ours forever, and it comes with substance. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need that evidence of Scripture operating in our lives to change us.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be a permanent thing. And the Word is called a seed. We need that seed of the Word to be planted in our heart. The one that can best plant that is Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And when that's planted and it's watered and it's tilled, we might say, and it's hovered over by Holy Spirit, you're going to have a marvelous supernatural Holy Ghost crop. That's what you want.
That's right. And that's why he is called Spirit of Life, because he's the one that gives us life. And it is through no other, but Jesus brought Holy Spirit to us. And we must always bow to the name of Jesus, first of all, because even Holy Spirit focuses on Jesus. All the Holy Spirit does is for Jesus.
Now, let me say this as we're at this point in our message. What we're talking about here, folks, is not only an experience, a transaction, a happening in your life, but we're talking about entering into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
this relationship
right.
with the person of Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He is a person. And he wants to guide us and be a best friend, and he wants to help us and empower us, because if we're powerless Christians, I'll tell you, we will get run over by the enemy, which is the devil. He'll run over us, or the devil's representatives will run over us and take advantage of us. God didn't want that to happen in the Old Testament. He wanted his people to win. He said, I walk among my people. These people, God's people, Israel, had a living God that was with them. The other nations didn't have that. And let me tell you, the people that you're up against that don't have the living God in their lives, they don't have a chance if you know who you are in Holy Spirit and in the Scripture. And that doesn't mean you're out there to just take advantage of them, but sometimes they're putting things in your way. They're putting roadblocks in your way that are going to be a disastrous event maybe for you. You don't need to put up with that. You can be an empowered Christian.